Hello and welcome to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adam. Coming up later in the show, the American Soybean Association is looking to lessen regulations the European Union has put on genetically modified soybeans. But first, opponents of the Department of Homeland Security's National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, or NBAF, have been encouraged ever since the White House cut funding for the project in next year's budget. Meanwhile, NBAF supporters are moving quickly to do damage control, and they're looking for alternative sources of funding. In another installment from our continuing series on NBAF, Harvest Public Media's Laura Ziegler reports that the controversial project remains in political limbo.
The battle over the National Bio and Agri-Defense Facility has boiled up again, and the best place to talk about it is right at the site, which is adjacent to the Vet School and the Kansas Research Park in the northeast corner of the Kansas State campus. That's me walking to the construction site. It's a big pit of mud at the moment, bulldozers and backhoes, and honestly, it could be a construction site in any suburb surrounding Kansas City. What's different about it, of course, is that there are two security posts with guards at least two entrances, one of whom is looking at me right now. It took me a long time to get permission to visit the site. The Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, which was created after 9/11 to guard against terrorist threats, and the government agency behind NBAF finally agreed. They set me up with the site manager, a man named Tim Barr. The problem is, they wouldn't let him say very much about the project. But since the revitalized debate over the NBAF really centers on risk, I felt I really had to ask him how much was too much risk for DHS.
We have a lot of really very smart folks who put together our most recent updated risk assessment, and I think that document will speak for itself when it's available to the public.
Well, that's not enough for the growing number of people who already see the facility as too risky. The lab's going to study some animal diseases fatal to humans, such as Nipah and Hendra virus, which makes the possibility of human error terrifying to opponents. And it will be the only lab in the country capable of studying the most dangerous foreign animal diseases on large animals. This poses new and unique problems: waste disposal and how to destroy diseased carcasses. I met with a few members of the activist group known as Biosecurity for the Heartland last week at the Arroy Thai restaurant in Manhattan.
We didn't win NBAF. I think that needs to be made clear.
Linda Richter is a retired political science professor at K-State, and she says many people don't know about NBAF because DHS deliberately tried to short-circuit public input. When DHS held so-called scoping meetings in August of 2007 on campus rather than in town, Richter believes officials knew people wouldn't come, that college towns empty out in August.
If it had been open and transparent all along, and your view didn't prevail, well, that's the way it happens in a democracy. On the other hand, if it appears to be slid through, I don't think they should be surprised that not everybody is wildly enthusiastic.
DHS argues the public comment period actually extended over 6 weeks, and there was another public comment meeting on the project this February in Manhattan. While the White House has cut next year's funding for NBAF in its budget for now, Congress has put $50 million on hold until it receives assurances the facility is safe. $40 million federal dollars have already been allocated for the site. Biologist Bill Dorsett worries engineers will be forced to prioritize safety provisions because of budgetary constraints, which could compromise the security of the lab.
The absolute worst case in this would be a budget germ lab. We don't need a lab that's built on the cheap.
The bus.
Stephen Anderson, a rancher, bellows to entice his inquisitive Black Angus cattle to come closer on a crest on the Green Flint Hills where they're grazing. He's outraged the same politicians who sold him out with free trade agreements now say studying foot and mouth disease in his backyard will lead to economic development.
Foot and mouth escape in Kansas would be a catastrophe. Our politicians, you know, they've marinated the brains of the local population there in Manhattan with their propaganda.
The NBAF divides cattlemen around the country. The Kansas Livestock Association, the state's largest group of ranchers and traditionally more conservative, supports the lab, though the association's also seeking safety assurances. But the smaller, more activist Kansas Cattlemen's Association is not behind the NBAF.
Good answer, but now tell me.
The board of the Kansas Cattlemen's meeting this December morning at the Hangar One Steakhouse on the grounds of the old airport in Wichita. Aaron Winter, a young rancher from a long line of Kansas livestock owners, reflects a common mistrust of DHS.
I'd like to have some faith that they are doing the best they can. I don't think you can take somebody in government that has no idea where this animal comes from and that he can truly understand what we're dealing with every day.
Senator Mary Landrieu, chairman of the Subcommittee on Homeland Security on the powerful Appropriations Committee, said through a staffer this week that NBAF funding will remain on hold until the latest Department of Homeland Security plan is reviewed by a panel of experts. Opponents, meanwhile, are feeling temporarily vindicated and rewarded with the gift of time. Laura Ziegler, Harvest Public Media.
The American Soybean Association is petitioning to ease the strict regulations the European Union has on genetically modified soybeans. They submitted their concerns to a U.S. trade representative earlier this month, who is part of a new working group with the European Union. Harvest Public Media's Kathleen Masterson reports.
The European Union banned the sale of genetically modified food and feed grains in 1998. But starting in 2004, they began approving specific genetically modified products for sale on a case-by-case basis. Still, American Soybean Association President Steve Wellman says the strict policies have really hurt their exports.
We've seen a 70% decrease in U.S. soybean exports to the European Union since 1998.
Wellman added that even genetically modified varieties that are accepted for sale in Europe are required to be labeled as such. And that's a problem.
The retailers really don't want to have a product on their shelf with a biotech label on it. They tell us that the consumer doesn't want that. So most of the U.S. soybean oil has been going to the biodiesel industry.
Last year, the U.S. exported $26 billion worth of soybeans, but Wellman says only about 5% of the income was from sales to the European Union. The American Soybean Association recently submitted their concerns in the hopes that American negotiations with Europe can help open more markets for American farmers. I'm Kathleen Masterson, Harvest Public Media.
Thanks for listening to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams.